Today we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 2. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 verse 1. Then Solomon determined to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal house for himself. And so Solomon at this point is really on fire for the Lord. As a result, he's determined to build that temple before he builds his palace. Verse 2. Solomon selected 70,000 men to bear burdens, 80,000 to quarry stone in the mountains, and 3,600 to oversee them. And these details are given to show the magnitude of this project. Verse 3. Then Solomon sent to Hiram, king of Tyre, saying, "As you have dealt with David my father, and sent him cedars to build himself a house to dwell in, so deal with me." Solomon wanted to get along with those who his father got along with, because obviously they would be good people, trustworthy people. And the king of Tyre was one such man, and Solomon needed him and needed some supplies from up in that area, namely good wood. Verse 4, "Behold, I am building a temple for the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, to burn before him sweet incense, for the continual showbread, for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, and on the set feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel." And so he's saying, we're going to be using this temple for a long time, and so we need good material that you can supply us. Verse 5, "And the temple which I build will be great, for our God is greater than all gods." And so you see here that Solomon throws in a little evangelism to the king of Tyre as well. Solomon isn't interested in suggesting that Almighty God is just one among many. He is saying our God is God. Verse 6. "But who is able to build him a temple, since heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I, then, that I should build him a temple, except to burn sacrifices before him?" See, the heathens back in those days thought that their idols were contained in the shrines that they built for them. Well, no temple, no matter how magnificent it is, could contain the God of the universe. Solomon is saying the temple that I'm going to build is built for proper worship, not to contain God or even try to contain God. 7. "Therefore, send me at once a man skillful to work in gold and silver, in bronze and iron, in purple and crimson and blue, and has skill to engrave with the skillful men who are with me in Judah and Jerusalem, whom David my father provided." Solomon is looking for someone to supervise this huge project. God designed people to work best when someone is in charge. It's just the way he designed man. Someone has to drive, or there's chaos, there's anarchy. Excuse me. Verse 9. "Also send me cedar and cypress and algum logs from Lebanon, for I know that your servants have skill to cut timber in Lebanon, and indeed my servants will be with your servants." And then verse 9, it says, "to prepare timber for me in abundance, for the temple which I am about to build shall be great and wonderful." Solomon wanted skilled workers who could do the best job, even if they were foreigners who didn't know the Lord. Right now, that's secondary. The project is the important thing, and he wanted the best workers available. And I don't care, you know, if the auto mechanic who I hire is a Christian or not, to be honest with you. Well, sure, I would love everybody to be a Christian so that they don't go to hell. But what I'm saying is, I don't care if the auto mechanic who I hire to fix my truck is a Christian. as far as the work is concerned, I want him to be a good mechanic. Verse 10. And indeed, I will give to your servants, the woodsmen who cut timber, 20,000 cores of ground wheat, 20,000 cores of barley, 20,000 baths of wine, 20,000 baths of oil. And this was good news for the land of Tyre, because they couldn't even come close to growing enough grain to meet the needs of their people. So this would be a wonderful trade-off for them. Verse 11. Then Hiram, king of Tyre, answered in writing, which he sent to Solomon, because the Lord loves his people, he has made you king over them. And what a nice thing to say. In other words, he's saying, Solomon, you're a good representative of your God. And of course, that's one of the nicest things you can say to one of God's people. You represent God well. Verse 12, Hiram also said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who made heaven and earth, for he has given King David a wise son, endowed with prudence and understanding, who will build a temple for the Lord and a royal house for himself. Hiram knew David well. He had known David well. And he knew that David wanted to build a temple for God, and he also knew that he couldn't do it. Consequently, he's glad for his friend David's sake that his son is going to start and complete that project. Verse 13, and now I have sent skillful men endowed with understanding, Huram, my master craftsman, the son of a woman of the daughters of Dan, and his father was a man of Tyre, skilled to work in gold and silver, bronze and iron, stone and wood, purple and blue, fine linen and crimson, and to make any engraving and to accomplish any plan which may be given to him with your skillful men and with the skillful men of my lord David, your father. Tyre was famous for their skilled craftsmen, and this man that the king is sending was the very best of the best. He was a good one. He knew what he was doing. And God deserves the best that we can give him. So this is why Solomon wanted workers like this, because he wanted the best job done possible for the glory of God. 15. Now therefore, the wheat, the barley, the oil, and the wine, which my Lord has spoken of, let him send to his servants. And they needed the food in Tyre. And so the king wanted to get the exchange with Israel started right away. No point in delaying this thing. 16. And we will cut wood from Lebanon as much as you need. We will bring it to you in rafts by sea to Joppa, and you will carry it up to Jerusalem. And, you know, this type of logging goes way back, and it is very prevalent here in this area. In Wausau, logging was the first big industry. And back in the 1800s, lumberjacks floated logs down the Wisconsin River to the paper mills. And that system of moving logs goes way back to the time of Solomon. And that is the system that was used here. 17. Then Solomon numbered all the aliens who were in the land of Israel, after the census in which David his father had numbered them. And there were found to be 153,600. And he made 70,000 of them bearers of burdens, 80,000 stonecutters in the mountain, and 3,600 overseers to make the people work. These were not illegal aliens, by the way. Just because they came in from other countries, this does not justify the concept of illegal aliens and make that okay, because they were not illegal aliens who snuck in over Israel's borders, breaking the law of the land. They were 153,000 men, mostly from Tyre, working on various building projects in Israel with the consent of the Israelite government. Chapter 3. Now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David at the place that David prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Mount Moriah was the area where Abraham would have offered his son Isaac to the Lord as well. And that great story in the Old Testament where God stopped him from doing it, but he was willing to obey even to the point of sacrificing his son, which is something, of course, God would never ask anyone to do. But it happened on Mount Moriah. A lot of history on this mountain. It's where the angel of the Lord appeared to David during the plague because he had numbered the army, which was against the word of God. And he offered sacrifices there, and that's when he determined to build the temple there. And so Moriah, or Zion, is where the temple will be built. And as for the rest of chapter 3, it simply details the specific things about the temple. We're not going to look at it. And then chapter 4 talks about the furnishings which were used in worship in the temple. And so we're not going to look at those details either. We'll pick up our study in chapter 5, verse 1, next time. Until then, so long, everyone.